Come on, let's give God a hand of praise this morning. All right, so let us rise, and as we enter into God's word this morning, let's say the words on the screen together. Pick up a Bible in your hands to declare that you are a Christian, if you are. And let us say these words together. This is my Bible, the word of God. It is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, open my ears to receive it and prepare my heart to contain it. I submit my will to it as the final authority in my life. Speak now, Lord Jesus, while I listen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. So this morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us in worship this morning. It is true that many Christians today view having a relationship with God as a stay out of trouble card, or having a stay out of trouble card. And so when trouble shows up, they say, God, I do have a relationship with you, and so why am I still having troubles in my life? As a result, they abandon the relationship or abandon the faith and walk away from God. They don't want to have anything to do with him because he is not removing their troubles away. But you see, having a relationship with God and understanding the nature of the environment in which we live are two separate things. I say that one more time. Having a relationship with God, one, and understanding the nature of the environment in which we live are two separate things. Here, it all boils down to expectations. What to expect from God being in a relationship with him, and what to expect from the world while living in it are two separate things. And well, as we may well know by now, this world is full of trouble because it is a world that is full of good and evil. So it's full of trouble. And all of this stuff started back in Genesis when Adam went and ate of the tree that God told him not to eat of. God described that tree as the tree of knowledge and of good and of evil. See, when God first created the world, it was a good world. The Bible says every time he created something, he looked at it and said it was good. But then the evil one came in and said, no, this is not going to be good. And then he brought in evil. So there is the mixture of good and evil in our world today. All right? So we have to understand the atmosphere in which we live. In this atmosphere, there is good and there is evil. Okay? And so God comes down in the midst of this problem to come and help us out. So on the other hand, God seeks to build relationship with us as we travel through it, or we travel through this world with the final objective of keeping that relationship for eternity. So the relationship God establishes with us, it is not a temporal relationship. It is an eternal relationship which starts in a temporal world. We have to understand that. So God doesn't seek to walk away at a certain point in this covenant that he has made with us. And by doing so, he gives us his mercy and his grace. We got mercy, we got grace that comes from the throne of God for each moment of our lives. And we walk in God's mercy, we walk in his grace. He does it through the means of grace, which he provides to us. What are those means? We have the Holy Spirit, who lives on the earth with us as the longest missionary that has ever been sent on a missionary assignment. And he's with the church. He's with you and with me. All right? The Spirit of God. He comes first to baptize us into this body that God has called us into. So he baptizes us into faith. This first work of the Holy Spirit. Then he keeps us in faith. It's the second thing he does. So God gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives us water for baptism. All right? These are physical symbols of spiritual event that is happening that we can't understand with our natural mind, since the Bible tells us that the natural mind does not perceive the things of the Spirit. Well, God gives us water, and he says we must use that to baptize. And then he gives us Holy Communion as another means of grace. All right? And the Holy Communion, as we take of it, we take of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and we say that, we do that in commemoration of what he did on the cross for our sins. He died for our sins. And he says we should do this in remembrance of him. And he gives us the blood of the Lamb Jesus Christ, who died on that cross. And every time the church confesses her sin and believe it with the heart and asks that the blood of Jesus cleanses us, it happens in the spiritual realm, and we are cleansed from that sin. God gives us a lot of things through his grace to do this. It is in this vein that we baptized little Lorraine this morning in this worship service. Through the water baptism, her parents have brought her for this baptism. We don't know the whole aspect of this, but it is God who is working in and through the water and is doing some great new things in our lives as he prepares us for eternity. So there is no place in Scripture where God promises to keep us free from trouble while we are traveling through this life. No place. If you found a Scripture that says that, show it to me. But I have not found one. There is no place where God says, I am going to come in your life and keep you out of trouble. No. But on the contrary, he has promised to be with us through our trials. That's what God promises. He promises to be with us through our trials. So if you didn't get anything out of this message this morning, get this, that God has promised to be with you through your trials, no matter what it is. As long as you are a baptized Christian and you have Christ living inside of you, God has promised this. Look in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. He says these words, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned up. The flame will not consume you. God makes this promise that he will be with us. The Bible did not tell us that he's going to take us out of the thing, but he says he will be with us in it. All right? And in Hebrews 13, verse 5b, God promises. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So this is a God who is very concerned about the relationship that he has established with us. He's come to stay. So our expectation of the world we live in should be high and low. All right? The world, the atmosphere in which we live, our expectation of this world should not always be high, but should be high and it should be low. All right? Because of sin, because this world hath fallen, and because of the falling state of our environment, we should expect things to go high and things to go low at some times. And our expectation of God should be his commitment to this relationship. That should be our expectation of God, his commitment to this relationship we've entered into with him. God is committed to it. That should be the only expectation that we have about God, that he's committed to this relationship. The expectation of the world should be what? That we will go up high and we will come down low. So we should have these thoughts in our mind. So you may be at a high or low point this morning in this worship service, all right, on your earthly journey. You may be at a high point or a low point, no matter what the circumstances that come to tell you that whatever you are doing this morning or how you're feeling this morning, God is committed to this relationship, and you are not alone. You are not alone. Let us remember that. So this is the message of our gospel story this morning, where in last week's gospel, the disciples had just experienced a very high moment on their journey with Jesus Christ. And we talked about that last week, where Jesus fed over 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And these guys had this great experience with God, and they were so excited about it. They were rejoicing about it. I mean, they had this high moment with Jesus Christ. Imagine that. All right, they're praising God for who he is and what he's able to do. And the next meeting, boom, they're in a storm. In a storm. No, at this point, they're not praising. They're seeking a way out. They're in the middle of a storm. And so it is crazy as they're going through this. The minds are so disturbed. So they move from this high point deep down into this low point in their lives, all right? And this is where we get the phrase from, the storms of life. Have you heard that before? The storms of life. This is where we get it from. Because the storm makes it, we're in every area of our lives. Storm comes. It comes. Some of us this morning are going through some relational storm. Relational storm with a family member. Relational storm with your husband or wife or a friend. All right? The devil brings this storm. This world brings these kind of storms in our lives. And some of us are going through some financial storm this morning, where we don't have a job to be able to pay our bills and look at the things that we need to do in life. You don't have the money to take care of these things, and you're going through that storm right now, all right? Some of us are going through some emotional storm, all right, because someone have treated you so badly, and you're so hurt this morning, and you don't know what to do, and this storm keeps pushing at you and pressing at you, all right? Some of us are going through some physical storm this morning. You have some health issues. You've gone to the doctor and getting some bad reports and stuff like that. And you don't know what to do with it. Or you know someone who is going through some kind of physical storm this morning. Some of us are going through some spiritual storms. All right? We're Christians, but we can't find our way out. We can't find our way out. We're not following Jesus the way we think we should do it. And we try, but we can, and we're not. And we don't know what to do about it. But folks, this is the reason why the cross is here. The cross is not here for those who are strong. The cross of Christ is here for those who are weak. We come every week because we are weak. We are helpless and can't help ourselves. Many folks will say stuff like, you know, I'm going to clean up and fix myself up and then get back in line with God. You cannot do it, folks. You cannot do it. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. He's talking about spiritual things. You cannot do spiritual things without me. And so the way to do it is to come as we are, come helpless as we are, come weak as we are, and fall at the cross of Jesus Christ. So these storms come to stop us from making further progress. And when the Bible talks about how the storm and the wave and the wind came against them. So when you get storms in your life or waves in your life, it comes to stop you from making progress. It comes so that it will cause you to drift away from the path that you are on. Or it comes so that it will drown you and so that you'll be forgotten about. The storms are no good, all right? But as we go on through this message, we will see who has power over the storms. So let's look at the 3 points I have this morning. First one is the contrast in the story. In Matthew 14, 22 through 24, it reads, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. This crowd were the people who he just fed, and now he was sending them away. All right, so after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Everyone had gone, and he was there alone because the disciples had left on the boat and the people were gone and he was left alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the wave because the wind was against it. So now, first thing I want to look at in this text is the word immediately. The word immediately speaks of the exciting, miraculous moment that they just experienced and boom, they are in a storm. Immediately. They had just had this overwhelming experience and were so excited about it. How good God is. You know how we do when we have these kind of miraculous moments in our lives. We are praising God and we are jumping and so excited and telling people our testimonies about what God has done. And then next thing you know it, boom, a storm comes. All right? And then when it comes, we're going, God, where are you? All right? We're looking for him. And when it seems like we can't find him, it makes us to feel so uncomfortable and causes us to feel discouraged, and we walk away. We walk away. All right? Because God was not there. So these high and low moments in our lives are very, very, very much important to notice and be careful about. This is similar to a husband or a father who comes home from work with this great news that he just got a promotion on a job. And he's explaining this thing to his wife and his children in such excitement about what God has done. And next thing you know, the phone rings. He picks it up. It's a doctor on the line with a bad report. All right? So he moves from this high point and he goes down to this low point in his life. All right? We all have experienced such thing in our lives. And I had this happen, one of those moments where many, many years ago, when I was just about 12 years old, my mother had this kind of thing she always did where when we went to school and we came home with good grades, she would get so excited with us and give you gifts and all that kind of stuff. So that was back home in Liberia. So I went to school and made some good grades and came home with my grade card and was excited, couldn't wait for her to get home. She had gone to the hospital to give birth to my little sister. So I come home and they say, oh, mommy went to the hospital to give birth. So I'm sitting home waiting with my grade sheet and everything, excited for her to come home to share this great news. And at 8 o'clock at night, my dad walks in the door, and we all ran to him. Where's mommy? Well, your mother had a girl, give birth to a girl, but right now she's not talking, and the doctor is working on her. So I went from this high point to that low point. And through the night, it was agonizing. It was terrifying. I couldn't sleep. I had this thing in my stomach, praying for my mom to come home. The next day, the morning hours went by. She was nowhere to be found. And my father comes home later in the afternoon. The car is full with family members. And the moment I saw that, I knew something terrible had happened. She didn't make it. All right? So I moved from this high point to that low point. And many of us in this room this morning can attest to this. And sometimes when we go through these moments in life, we question God. We question his authority. We question, where are you? Look at all that I have done for you. Look at the relationship I have established with you. I've talked to many folks who have walked away from church because of the fact that they said God was not there when they were going through some troubled moments. Where was God? Folks, God was there. He promised to be there always and to never go away. So you may be experiencing a high moment this morning or a low point this morning. Whatever it may be going through your life this morning, I want you to understand that God is with you. God is with you. Remember that as you go through this life. All right? He promises. David says it. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's Psalm 23. He says, I will fear no evil because you are with me. God is with us. And since he's with us, we can have that confidence. So the first thing we look at this morning is the contrast in the story. Second thing is the covenant in the story. And look in Matthew 14, 25 through 26. It reads, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cry out in fear. Now, look at the covenant, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. Here, he is in the storm with them. Jesus did not calm the storm, notice that, but he is in the storm with them. He didn't stop it, but he's in it with them. And this is where we get our story. It reminds me of the story of the three Hebrew boys, if you've heard that in the Old Testament, where they said that they would not bow down to Baal, and the king took them and threw them in the fiery furnace to burn out. And as that happened, the king looked in there. There was the fourth man in the fire with them, and that fourth man was Jesus Christ. They did not recognize and didn't see him in the storm, but he was there with them. He was in the fire with them. And that's the God that we serve. We may not be able to recognize him or see him as we're going through a particular situation at a particular time, but we have to, by faith, believe it and have it embedded in our spirit that God is with us because he said so. Why is he coming to be with us? He shows up to protect us. He comes to protect us as we're going through so that this fire or this water would not consume us. All right? He comes to assist us because as you move on through the journey, you may get, weary. So he's there to assist us. He's there to sustain us. And sometimes we feel like we're getting ready to burn out, but God sustains us. And he also comes to strengthen us because we are weak. All right, so that's the acronym PASS. All right? He protects, he assists, he sustains, and he strengthens us. Pass. He wants us to pass through the storm. All right? So he comes and he does these things. Let's remember that. Last point this morning in the sermon is the conqueror in the story. Let's look at the conqueror in the story. In Matthew 14, 27, it reads, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid.'" The first thing that happens when a storm enters our lives is it brings with it fear. Storm brings fear, all right? And the purpose of fear is to destabilize us, all right? When you become so frightened, it comes to the point where you become very destabilized and you don't know what to do and you lose control. And that's why fear comes, all right? So that it would destabilize us. It threatens determination. All right? And that's when a person walks away from faith and tries to rationalize this thing and using their own understanding. It seeks our help, and then we try to seek our help from other sources other than God. All right? And then we walk away, we drift away, and we go trying to seek other ways through which we may be helped. All right? And so fear comes to stop us, and we need to fight against fear. All right? Because when we fight against fear and we take on faith, then we are able to stand through the storm or withstand the storms that come in our lives as we go on. And so here the disciples are in fear. And on top of that, they see an unfamiliar object on the water. All right? They're already terrified by the storm and the wave. And then as they are trying to fight against this thing, they look on the water, there is an object, a ghost, coming on the water. And so it brings more fear on them, and they're screaming their heart out, "Oh, it's a ghost. A ghost is on the water," because from a natural perspective, no one walks on the water. But Jesus is walking on the water, coming toward them. And as you see this story, we see a God who is a conqueror. All right, he's walking over the situation, the very situation that has come to stop them or to drown them or to drift them away. Jesus shows up and he's walking on the situation as the storm is there. So what that tells you and I is he has absolute control over everything. And this is why we read in the Old Testament text this morning from the book of Job. God is asking Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I told the waters to stop thus far and not go any further? Where were you?" Because Job had a situation and was questioning the authority of God. All right? "Why are you allowing me to go through this, God?" And he's going through this long renting with God. And so God comes back to him and asking him this question, "Where were you?" God's telling him that I have things under control. I'm the one who controlled the universe. I created the universe. I created you, and I care about you. And so it's the same message that he brings to all of us this morning. God cares for you. No matter what you're going through right now, folks, no matter how bad it may seem, I want you to understand that God cares for you, and he comes seeking a relationship with all of us. And the relationship God seeks is not a temporal one, but it's a relationship for eternity. You see, we spend a lot of time preparing for retirement. We don't spend too much time preparing for eternity. But God has come and he has prepared us for eternity. He's prepared a way for eternity. Because no matter how much we prepare for retirement, at some point, that too is going to come to an end. Because retirement is temporal. But folks, eternity is there waiting for all who put their trust in God. And if you want to enjoy it, the way to do that is through the cross. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. And I pray this morning that as you have received this word from God, telling you and I that he comes to establish relationship with us, I pray that the word of God will encourage your heart, quicken your heart, strengthen your heart to make that turn toward the cross and seek his grace and his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us rise, please.